don't often hear much about them, there are millions of Christians in India, a community which has grown from the time Jesus' apostle, the doubting Thomas, first set foot on Indian soil. Today, Christians make up some 24 million people. That may sound like a lot, but they account for less than 3% of the majority Hindu population. Muslims, who form the largest religious minority, account for 11% of the population. Other religious groups, including Jains, Buddhists, Sikhs, Parsis, and Jews, together make up a mere 4%. Well, in recent years, Christian leaders in India have expressed dismay that some elements in society have been twisting religion for political ends. Extremist Hindu nationalists have been accused of fueling a climate of hatred against Christians, whom they blame for India's past history of colonial rule. They also say some religious minorities enjoy greater social privileges than Hindus. Well, as we've seen, dozens of Christian homes, churches, and clergy have come under attack in recent years in areas like the eastern Indian state of Orissa. Nuns and priests have been brutally murdered and church buildings and property burnt to the ground. Well, to explore some of the complicated background of the tensions between Christians and Hindus in some parts of India, I talked with a spokesman for the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Andhra Pradesh, Father Anand Mutungal, who gives us some insight.
What has taken place in the recent times, the fundamentalism has risen to a very great extent. It is a fundamentalism by the Hindu movements, very especially something called Hindutva. Their movement has become very strong in Madhya Pradesh and in the nearby Hindi belt. So it's a result of this uprising of the Hindu movements that is causing a great trouble and violence in the state here.
To what extent do you think this current tension is the result of fears about Christian evangelization or conversion of Hindus to Christianity?
See, to tell you the fact, you know, there are no much forced conversions taking place in India as a whole, and very especially in this Hindi-speaking area in Madhya Pradesh. Now, why they are accusing, it has become a political issue. They want to politically accuse the Christians of conversion. The accusation of conversion is not real, but it is a political agenda, a religious political agenda, which is persuaded by the Hindutva movement, very especially RSS, VHP, Bajrang Dal, and this movement.
Do you think that India's caste system comes into play in these tensions?
I don't think a caste system plays a major role into this one. It is a fanatic movement that has come up in the basis of like Nazism, fascism, in this level. It is trying to prove that Hindus are today much, much bigger, greater and they are higher than the other community. They are trying to impose their views on the Christians now. It's an imposition of culture. It's a cultural inversion, I must say, cultural war. We must go back to the 200 years of history of India, where the Christianity came to India. It definitely had no tolerance with the Hindu community. It has been trying to dominate the Hindu culture. Now the Hindu community began to feel now they are in a position where they can dominate the Christians now. And it is a way they are trying to impose their culture and their dominance in the community. So it is a long historical war.
Heard certain priests in India say that the people who have converted from Hinduism to Christianity many of them come from the lower castes in India, who are far more unfortunate than many of the upper caste Hindus, and that they're doing so of their own free will.
Yeah.
What does Christianity offer these low caste Hindus that they don't find in their own religion?
See, madam, what is happening, the Christianity gives them an equal status in the society. And those people who feel that they have been ill-treated because they are coming from the low caste and their poverty to a great extent has paved a way for to change their religion into Christianity. But unfortunately, I must honestly and humbly accept those people who got converted from this lower caste has not been able to be inculcated very well into the Catholic Church, neither into the Protestant churches. They are still considered a low class in many of the areas.
Why is that, Father? Is there something within our churches, the Christian churches, that prevents these people from being considered as equals?
See, madam, what is happening is the clergy and you know, the sisters, the nuns, all these categories, most of them have come from an upper economically and socially well area. They have been quite well in that area. So this particular group that is coming into this group doesn't seem to be financially and in socially doesn't seem to be that sound. This has paved the way for another sort of thinking in the church that this low-caste people who are coming to low-caste needs to be considered. And second point adding to this, there is a reservation set by the government of India. Those who are in the SC, means the scheduled caste people, get the reservation from the government.
Dalits are among India's poorest Hindu castes. Once known as the untouchables or the oppressed, many have converted to Christianity freely because Christian clergy say Christians do not or should not recognize social inequalities such as castes. For this reason, Christians are not included in India's government policy on castes, which provides social assistance and educational advantages, and guarantees a number of government and civil jobs for members of deprived castes. So ironically, if a Hindu becomes Christian, he will lose the government benefits attributed to his social class.
Now, the people who adopt the faith of Christianity also manage to get this concession from the government. So they do not reveal that they are Christian. They write still in their documents that they are Hindu. And they get the benefit of the benefit that the government gives them in the name of reservation for the scheduled caste. This is also one reason why Christians are still wants to persuade that they are from the low caste. And church also is supporting this movement because church has set up a commission in the CBCI where they are arguing for the benefit of the people who are converted from the lower classes.
So-called Dalit Christians have launched appeals to the government to reinstate their former social benefits in order to improve their employment opportunities.
I don't really honestly think a church has honestly worked to reduce these disparities existing in the society either.
Well, it sounds like the church has some internal reforming to do, but also a greater commitment to ensuring the political and civil rights of poor Christians on a social level.
I would rather add to what your question is. There is also an element of, you know, conversion taking place from the Protestant circle. These conversions are mainly being engineered by offering some things. And these conversions mostly are funded, conversion groups are funded by the USA, Canada, all these missions from these countries, wherein independent churches are coming up. And they are pumping in money for some time when the conversions and they are withdrawn. And the people who get converted, then they start making problems for the church. And Catholic Church being an established church, they face a lot of problem. Therefore, suppose this tension has to be stopped in India on these levels of conversion, this sort of funding by these independent churches also needs to be stopped. Otherwise, this tension between communities and between religions will keep on growing.
Well, I know that the World Council of Churches is working on a set of guidelines on conversion together with the Vatican. Are you familiar with that project? And what do you think?
I have been through. I will go through the internet to find out what is the policy of the World Council of Churches. But the question comes here. The pastors were working independently in different parts of the world. They find their counterpart in our country, in India, and they start funding. Who may not be part of the World Council of Churches at all. And they really start converting people in the lines of giving them something, all this, only for a certain short period. Afterwards, they withdraw. And World Council of Churches, how is it going to control the mission activities that is carried on by the independent churches in India? Therefore, I rather would say it is the duty of the governments like US government, Canada government, they must frame policies to stop such sort of frog activities done by their missionaries in India. That would be rather better if we want peace in India.
Okay, that's an interesting point of view. Are there other things that, for example, the World Council of Churches or the Vatican could do to help calm these tensions in India between the religious communities?
See, in India, Vatican, let it be Vatican, Missouri, or any of these agencies working in the world, they are putting millions and millions of rupees for the development of the developmental projects in India. But I'm very, very unfortunate to say, none of these agencies are seriously thinking of doing something to community building here, communal harmony building. They are not bothered. They want a village to be developed. They want a social work to be done. But why not the Indian, these agencies, including Vatican, take up the issue of communal harmony as a main mission in India and work on this point for 10 to 15 years? I am absolutely sure there will be sort of communal harmony existing in India, because neither Vatican nor any of these countries are really bothered on what is the problem faced with the people in India. They are only worried to execute some projects in India, not the real problem of the people of the country.
Well, how do you see such a communal harmony project working, Father?
See, what I feel is, you know, there are a lot of religious leaders. There are so many social organizations, social persons, journalists. There are people who are really interested to build a communal harmony in the country. It is not all the Hindus are fanatics. Neither all Muslims are fanatics, nor neither all Christians are non-fanatic. Because fanatical elements are there, but we have got a major section of people who are eager to help and build a community. And these funding agencies should trace those people and make a union of people who are working for communal harmony, which is lacking in India. Neither there, let it be any agencies funding in India, very, very little funds they give for like this work. Major funds are given for different projects, which does not have any bearing in the Christian community nor in the society to build communal harmony.
Father, you have called for the church to remember its martyrs as heroes. How would you like the Christian community there in India to remember its martyrs?
The church in India has got a lot of martyrs. Martyrs means who really died for the church. And there are great martyrs like Deacon St. Lawrence, you know, St. Stephen. These great martyrs' story also need to be retold to the Christian community in India. Strengthen their faith. That would be one way church can become powerful in the matter of faith.
Father Anand Mutungal is a spokesman for the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Andhra Pradesh.